have been a couple of recent news stories about businesses and government officials denying goods and services to same-sex couples based on their religious beliefs.
A state appeals court in Colorado ruled that a baker couldn't cite his religious beliefs in refusing to make wedding cakes for same-sex couples. And in Kentucky, a county clerk has refused to administer any marriage licenses, gay or straight couples.
We're joined today by Douglas Laycock, professor of constitutional law in the University of Virginia Law School. Douglas, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, now that same-sex marriage is legal, can you lay out the new legal arguments surfacing around people who refuse to provide goods or services to same-sex couples?
Well, I don't know anyone who refuses to provide goods and services to same-sex couples as a general matter. What people are doing is refusing to serve the wedding. Because I think for a lot of religious conservatives, a marriage is inherently a religious relationship. The wedding is a religious event. And in their view, it's a sacrilegious event. It's a prohibited religious event. And the job of these wedding vendors, the wedding planner, the caterer, even the cake maker, is to help make this the best and most memorable wedding it can be. They are promoting it, and they say they can't do that. That's the claim, and it's much narrower than simply not serving same-sex couples. I think it's a pretty sympathetic claim, but so far, none of these small businesses in the wedding industry, none of them has won an exemption from a discrimination lawsuit.
So what have the courts found so far as we look at cases like these?
Well, mostly the courts say that there's a compelling government interest in the non-discrimination laws, even if other bakers, other wedding planners are immediately available nearby. The New Mexico Supreme Court said the Religious Freedom Restoration Act didn't even apply when you were sued by a private citizen. These cases have all arisen in blue or purple states. They don't come up in red states because red states don't have gay rights laws.
Well, what you're describing is a fault line between religious beliefs or religious liberty and anti-discrimination law. So how is that being played out? Do you see it?
Well, the way it ought to be played out is that we protect the liberty of all Americans. We protect the right of gay couples to get married and have as big a wedding as they want, and we should protect the right of religious conservatives not to have to participate or assist with that wedding. But that's not how it's played out so far. The way it's played out so far is that the religious folks have lost every one of these cases. It was almost inevitable in Colorado. The Colorado courts are pretty seriously hostile to religious liberty. There are appeals still pending, but they've lost a case in Oregon. They've lost a case in Washington State. Those are both very blue states and very secular states. And they lost a case in New Mexico.
So do you believe that religious beliefs, religious liberties should trump anti-discrimination law?
That's not what I said. I said there should be exceptions in these very narrow contexts. There should be exceptions in religious contexts. We don't make the church itself do weddings, and I don't think we should make these very small businesses do weddings either. They understand the wedding to be a religious event.
So is it an act of harm, as some supporters of these rulings have talked about, if, say, a baker does not want to provide a cake for this wedding? Does it be tantamount to harm, as we're talking
about? Well, it would be a very rare case where they have to do without a cake. If we're in some isolated rural area and there's no other baker, then I would say they got to provide the cake. The harm the gay rights side mostly points to is emotional harm. They're insulted. They're offended. And I think that's real. But there's an equal or greater emotional harm on the religious side. They've disrupted their relationship with God, which is the most important relationship in their lives. We're in a pluralistic society where there's a lot of mutual disapproval. Religious folks think the gay rights, the gay people are sinning. The gay rights people think the religious folks are hateful bigots. They disapprove of each other, and the gay couples cannot be entirely sheltered from the fact that there are people who disapprove of them.
We're talking to constitutional law professor Douglas Laycock from the University of Virginia. We're taking a look at the latest legal fault lines between religious liberty and anti-discrimination laws as regards same-sex couples and same-sex marriage in general. And now we've been talking about private businesses so far. Let's turn to the Kentucky case with a government official there not wanting to issue marriage licenses. What do you make of that one?
Well, that's completely different because she is exercising the authority and power of the state of Kentucky. Kentucky doesn't have a religion. It's not entitled to religious exemptions. The Supreme Court's decision doesn't apply to private parties. It only applies to states. They have to issue licenses. The county clerk doesn't have to do it personally, but someone in her office has to issue marriage licenses. So she's clearly going to lose, and there's really not much to argue about there.
Well, how do you see this unfolding as we go forward? These cases, maybe not the Kentucky one, but if you want to go back to the case of the baker, these are moving through the courts, this kind of argument. How do you see it progressing?
Well, it seems pretty clear that the religious side has been losing in blue and purple states and will probably continue to do so. I think the path ahead is at the federal level and in red states. There's no gay rights law at the federal level. No gay rights law in most red states. So gay couples are completely unprotected there. And it's hard to imagine those states enacting gay rights laws without religious exemptions. So there's a legislative way to provide strong protection for gays and also exemptions for religious conservatives, and Utah just did that. They didn't complete the job. They didn't do public accommodations. They only did employment and housing. But it's an important start. It should be a model for the country. Unfortunately, it's been denounced by both sides. The gay rights folks say it's only Utah. It's not a model for anywhere. And the Republicans are unhappy that they passed it. This is another example of the political polarization in the country. The Republicans don't want the gay rights law, and the Democrats don't want the religious exemptions. And so we're, on this issue, like so many others, we're in gridlock.
So are you saying that states should pass religious liberty laws?
They should pass gay rights laws, and they should pass religious liberty laws, yes.
Douglas, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to do it.
That was Douglas Laycock from the University of Virginia. He's a law professor there. He joined us for a look at the latest legal fault lines between religious liberty and anti-discrimination laws.